Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the TL Type S with a 286-horsepower V6 and real-time traffic alerts. Learn more at Acura.com.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. President Bush has moved to exempt Navy sonar training missions off the coast of Southern California from court-ordered restrictions to protect whales and dolphins. The U.S. District Judge in Los Angeles, who recently ordered the restrictions, called the Navy's mitigation measures grossly inadequate to protect marine mammals from debilitating levels of sonar exposure. The president doesn't have the legal power to overturn a federal court order, so Justice Department lawyers are asking courts in California to remove the order by tomorrow. Later today, Eli Broad, one of L.A.'s top philanthropists, is expected to announce a $23 million investment in local charter schools. It's believed to be the largest gift of its kind. Broad told the L.A. Times charter schools have become an essential fallback since the mayor gave up pursuing outright control of the nation's second-largest school system. What kind of a deal do you have to remove dams on the Klamath River if you don't have the okay from the company that owns the dams? A landmark settlement just announced between farmers, fishermen, and tribal leaders faces a tough swim upriver to convince the one key player left out of the talks, PacifiCorp Power. Sasha Coco reports.
Nearly two dozen groups endorsed this week's agreement. Craig Tucker is a spokesperson for the Karuk tribe, whose members fish just downstream from the dams.
So what we're talking about is the biggest dam removal in U.S. history on America's most important river. The reason that the West Coast salmon fishing industry was closed in 2006 was because of struggling returns to the Klamath River.
A restoration agreement that would make farmers, tribes, fishermen, and power companies all happy almost sounds like a fairy tale ending to the fight over the Klamath. But the story's not quite over.
How much of a deal can it be if we weren't involved?
Paul Vogel of PacifiCorp Power, which uses the dams to supply electricity, says the company's been excluded from discussions for months. He says PacifiCorp would consider dam removal, but only if the power company's customers wouldn't have to bear the costs.
Just imagine taking out four dams. It's a significant cost. When you put on top of that the cost of replacement power, you can imagine that the numbers are much higher than the folks who want the dams out would lead you to believe.
And even the $1 billion plan may not be enough to restore a healthy salmon run, says Clifford Lyle Marshall. He's chairman of the Hoopa Valley Tribe, which opposes the deal, saying it favors farmers over fish.
I think there's a lot of wishful thinking there. It's always good to have hope, and it's always good to be working towards a solution, but this is an agreement that I think needs a lot more work.
The parties to the agreement hope to negotiate with PacifiCorp Power in the coming weeks, then look to Congress for approval and funding of their plan. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca.
California's healthcare system is still overwhelmingly paper-based. That can lead to medical errors, especially in dispensing drugs. The California Healthcare Foundation releases a survey today that finds only a quarter of the state's hospitals use computer technology to administer medications, despite evidence it dramatically improves patient safety. Marjorie Sun has more.
When it comes to dispensing medicine, the mantra at San Mateo Medical Center, like hospitals across the nation, is the five R's, says Chief Nursing Officer Sandra Kassoon.
The right patient, the right med, the right dose, the right route, and the right time.
Unfortunately, the healthcare system is getting it wrong too often. At least 1.5 million medication errors occur in the U.S. annually, according to an Institute of Medicine report. That's in large part due to a paper-based system plagued with human error. Mistakes start with physicians handwriting illegible prescriptions. They are compounded by errors made during dispensing in hospitals. So to improve patient safety, more and more hospitals are switching to barcode technology to administer medications, like San Mateo Medical Center, which started phasing in the system last month.
My name is James Mercado, and one of the staff nurses here at 2AB.
Mercado stands in front of a tall cart on wheels. It's outfitted with a wireless laptop, a handheld scanner like you see in retail stores, and packets of medicine marked with barcodes.
I need to scan my badge. Now I'm inside the system.
That's the computerized system for dispensing drugs. Until recently, Mercado asked patients for their name and date of birth and then checked the handwritten orders for prescriptions. Not anymore. Now he scans a patient's personalized wristband that's imprinted with a barcode. Then he scans the medicine's barcode. If he makes a mistake and tries to give the wrong medicine or the wrong dose, the computer tells him instantly.
This is Tylenol, but I'm going to scan a different medicine. Mm-hmm. It says on the screen, error. So a big cross. It means, you know, drug scan does not match the order selected. So we need to stop and check it again, what medication to be administered.
The computerized system also makes it easier to monitor a patient's drug allergies and cross-reactions with other drugs that could be dangerous. Kate Ganella is a top nurse at Kaiser Permanente in Santa Rosa, which recently introduced electronic dispensing of medications.
Barcode scanning acts as a background eyes and ears of the nurse. All people are prone to errors, and nurses aren't any exception. But the computer acts to remind us in the background that we might be making an error and to relook at what we're about to do.
Cutting medication errors saves money, too. Adverse drug reactions from preventable mistakes add nearly $9,000 on average to a hospital stay, according to the Institute of Medicine. Though more and more hospitals are adopting barcode technology, three-quarters of them in California still haven't.
We're still not really at a tipping point.
Jonah Froelich is with the California Healthcare Foundation. It's urging quicker adoption of computer technology to dispense drugs to achieve those 5 R's, the right patient, the right drug, the right dose, the right route, and the right time.
Barcoding and electronic dispensing of medication, those 5 things should, if the hospital follows its protocols and uses its system 100% of the time, should help eliminate most of the errors associated with dispensing medication.
Froelich says the barriers to going electronic include cost, difficulty of implementation, and uncertainty about the best computer system. Another step to reduce medication errors in hospitals is to get more physicians to prescribe medicine electronically. Only a quarter of California's doctors do so now. Some federal legislators are pressing for faster adoption. A bill pending in the Senate would require physicians to write Medicare prescriptions electronically by 2011 or face a financial penalty. For the California Report, I'm Marjorie Sun.
That's the California Report for Wednesday, January 17th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, sponsoring the James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards, with information online at www.irvine.org. And the California Healthcare Foundation and Cal Hospital Compare, a new website rating hospital quality in California at calhospitalcompare.org.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals, institutions, and advisors reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.